Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome once again to the Phantom Zone, your one-stop shop for all things nerdy. If you like what you hear today, you can listen to our other episodes on a whole range of nerdy topics now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and SoundCloud. My name is Chris Buick and after a nice long break, I am happy to say that I'm once again joined by all my fellow nerds, Toby, Simone and Ian. Happy New Year, guys. How are you?
Hello!
Hey.
Happy New Year!
We all good?
Yeah.
Looking forward to 2024?
No.
No.
More doom.
Yes. more doom. 2024, the year that ended everything. Yeah.
I've seen a great meme going round of from The Shining, where it's like 2024 coming up the stairs going like, it's going to be fine. It's like, no, stay away from me. And all those people who are like, it's my year. I'm like going for it. I've got all that energy. Just remember, everybody who went up Mount Everest had that energy. And a lot of them died. So just keep that in mind.
Oh my God.
So great positive advice for the new year, guys. Yeah, this is the way we want to go. Welcome back to all our listeners. Sorry about that, but 2024 is going to be good.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
This week, we are back as part of our ongoing partnership with UK Film Review. And as much as we're excited about 2024, clearly, we're actually going to take a look back at 2023, the films of 2023, which was a big year. A lot happened. We had 3 MCU movies. We had 4 DCEU movies. We had some amazing animation. We had an epic clash between a toy doll and the father of the atomic bomb, the latter of which led into our very own epic clash between Ian and Simone in our great Christopher Nolan debate. There were
one of us definitely won. One of us definitely won that.
Yeah, but I won everything else, so
you conceded
defeat. Debatable.
There were also sequels to films about serial killers, fast cars, ruthless assassins, old archaeologists, evil spirits, and many, many more. What I'm basically trying to say is 2023 had a lot of films. The problem is I didn't watch a lot of them. I watched quite a few, but nowhere near as many as I should have done. I was basically trying to get through a 2022 backlog. Pretty much what I do with most media is I'm always tend to be a year behind, but there were some great films we got to watch. So the 4 of us today will be listing our top 3 films of 2023 and really getting into why those films landed with us the most. We'll also be talking about some of the films that didn't. I don't want to make any assumptions, but there might be a DC or a Marvel or a film about a world full of water that might feature there. But we'll also be looking ahead to 2024 and all the excitement that that promises, which it does.
No, it does. It does.
But enough of me rambling on. Let's get started. We're going to each name our our third best and worst films and discuss those, then move on to our second and then on to our top choices with some questions on at the end. So with that in mind, Ian, would you like to tell us what your third worst and best films of 2023 were?
I'm gonna mention my worst first.
Yeah, let's do that.
So that we have a bit of positivity rather than, you know, starting on good and ending bad. And also it's easier because I actually think there's a lot of films I've watched recently that I really enjoyed. So it's that third position's quite contentious. But for my third worst film of the year, there's a lot of bad films this year. I'm just gonna put that out there. I'm gonna make an argument. It's not been a good year for films. Like, I just, nothing really. I'm not saying it's been terrible, but Simone and I have been discussing that, like, due to COVID, there's been a bit of a backlog of films. A lot of films that have come out have been delayed, etc. And I feel like it's been not great. And in my third position, I'm actually going to go for one that I watched recently, which is Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, as one of my worst films of the year. It's really bad. It's really bad.
There's nodding going around.
It's just like, I feel like everybody who made this film gave up at some point in their life and then have chosen to do this. Like, it's just the point that pushed me over the edge, spoilers by the way, like, it's quite early on where it jumps back in time and Indiana Jones is like fighting Nazis again because, you know, that they realize from Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it's like, oh, we Soviets didn't work, so let's get the Nazis back. Everybody loves them in an Indiana Jones film. And the bad guy in the film gets hit in the face, full on, square in the face, by a pole on a train. And I was like, well, that guy's dead. And then he just turns up later on, looks perfectly fine, and it's never addressed. And I'm just like, I know people are like, no, you're being pernickety, but I'm sorry, the man, like, went flying off a train.
We don't mention the brain damage. We just don't mention the brain.
Just don't talk about it. And yeah, that would have been funny if they had, by the end of the film...
just the brain-damaged villain throughout the rest of the movie.
If by the end of the film, this guy thinks this stupid thing is a time travel device, again, spoilers, and it turns out it isn't because he's had severe brain damage. Is that okay? I don't know. Maybe we should cut that.
Indiana Jones is doing a make-a-wish.
Go, we're off to spoilers. This is already a great start.
I'm sorry. But the guy
wants to restore fascism, obviously, because, you know, I guess that's what the story needs to be. And then
because it's kind of vogue at the minute.
Yes, vogue at the moment, especially in the US. So they get, by the end, the bit where I was just like, this is terrible, this is actual trash, is when they're meeting Archimedes in the future, in the past, and him and Indiana Jones have this moment of like, oh, you know, you're a great guy. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I was just like,
just become best friends.
Yeah, I was just like, it's dreadful. It's so bad. And the actress, her name forgets.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, I haven't watched Fleabag, but Simone, you have. You really enjoyed that.
Great show.
She's terrible in this. Like, her character is just so unlikable. Like, somebody who's just so obnoxious. I hated it. That's enough of that. I hated it. Simone, you haven't watched it yet. Save yourself the trouble. Did you guys watch it?
I did. And I'm just going to jump in here and say, and I will find the episode where I said it, that this was going to happen when it was announced. I believe it might have been our 2023.
Yeah, cut it in here.
Ahead. I'm going to cut it in here and say, and I'm not naming names, but it was you and Simone, Ian, that said this has promise.
No,
and
I was
like,
did I?
And I think you were more optimistic than I was.
I think Simone was, but I don't know. Was I? Oh God, who am I?
Maybe not. But
I apologize.
Nonetheless, it was still upsetting.
It just felt like people making the movie were begrudging of the fact they had to make an Indiana Jones movie. They're just I never really watched the original three, therefore I don't really want to make this, but Disney are making us do it. Here you go. Here's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Crap.
How much do you guys, just out of interest, I wonder if there ever is like a cinema at this time sort of documentary, how much do you think we'll find out that this film was made by like an AI? Because like if you told it, make an Indiana Jones film.
I mean, it wouldn't
film.
Surprise me. There are a number of films on the list that I've written down that I could put into that category.
Yeah, yeah. Like it just ticked the boxes of, right, got to have Nazis, tick that off. We've got to have some weird thing, tick that off. We got to have a kid, tick that off. Like, yeah, awful. Yeah. Let's move on. Before we say something else offensive.
I feel like it was an excuse to give Harrison Ford one last outing as Indy, but...
Yeah, but he didn't look like he wanted to be there either. No, he looked so done. So done.
Yeah, it's actually officially a flop. It cost... They needed $600 million to break even. They lost $100 million on it. It didn't make back its money. So it is definitely a box office bomb.
Somebody got fired for that, that's for sure. Which is sad because they probably had to feed their kids and stuff. So.
And arguably, not a lot of films made like big money this year because only like two films hit a billion, which sounds a lot, but compared to 2019 when nine films hit a billion, you know, it's hard to make the money. But obviously, we're still in the post-COVID phase. There's been...
Cozy Lives,
all kinds of stuff that's happening. So yeah, it was always... It's hard anyway, but if you make a film that's not great, then it's even harder. So... There you go. Anyway, what was your best film? What was your third best film?
Third best film. So there's a lot of films that could have reached that. And so there's going to be a lot of films in my honorable mentions. But a film that I genuinely really just had a great time with and really enjoyed it. And when we finished watching it, I turned to Simone and was like, I would watch a sequel to that. This is really fun and enjoyable. Is Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves.
Ooh, yeah. Good choice. Solid choice.
We just had... a great time, and like
the especially best
when
time.
It was so good, and especially when you think like there was a lot of films that I have watched which will be in my honorable mentions, which I'm sure, you know, the more snooty film watchers will be like, well, you haven't put this film in your top one, because sometimes I just want a good fun time with
those
films.
Those people are gonna hate my top three,
so. Yeah. I just want a good time with my films, and Dungeons and Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves was exactly that. It was really funny. It was refreshing, because I'm not saying we've talked about it before. I don't believe in superhero fatigue either. We've discussed it. But the fact that this was a fantasy universe, I really enjoyed. Yeah. I think it just hit it out of the park. I had a great time and it was hilarious. And also, Hugh Grant, renaissance in his career. I loved him in this film. So funny.
Yeah, I think... Toby, you and I did the episode for the D&D movie when it came out, and we said about Hugh Grant, and like he's loving life playing that villain. He really is. And we were looking at it from the perspective of Toby has yet to play D&D. We will remedy that this year. I really hope so. But as obviously you and Simone are players and have played, how did you feel it kind of did from the actual D&D perspective?
We were multiple times, especially when you compare it to that crappy one that came in the 90s. Like, there were multiple times where me and Simone were like, we fought one of these.
We've done this.
We did that. Like when they reanimate the corpses, that was what that favorite
Every party's done that at some point.
Every just party messed has up done that spell. And it was so funny because that happened to us. We ended up asking a question that we shouldn't have asked. And we were like, oh, but... Do we still have questions? And then he answered and we were like, oh no.
Well, I said this to Toby on the episode, but when we went, so I went with my D&D group that I play with. We all went to see it together. And my character in our D&D group that we've been playing for 4 years is a bard who's a member of the Harpers, who lost his wife to an evil wizard and has spent his life trying to smuggle. And they all just turned and looked at me. And I was like, this is as close as I get to a biopic for me. So I was just, I felt so seen. But I loved
fun,
it.
Really good, really enjoyable. One of my favorite lines is just a throwaway, is Hugh Grant with the tea. And he's like, it's very hot.
Do you mind? Scalding hot.
Finger in. It's like, oh, I didn't think you were going to do that. I'm going to could have saved that for later.
Yeah. even the other bit where he goes up on the platform, he's like, this is very high.
It's very high. He's one of the best parts, but I actually think everybody's really good in it.
Mm-hmm. And
the thing Simone really enjoyed in it, which I'll take from you, Simone, but was that the action was not shaky cam cutting. It just really felt like you were just there watching the action, no cuts. And it was great. Really good action.
You could see it. You could see what was happening. You could see the punches. Like, oh, so good. Like, just
no
really
nausea.
No nausea. Like, just really well directed. Like, it was just so much fun to watch. Why am I talking like this is my favorite film? Continue.
You're absolutely right. I think we discussed it when the trailer came out on an episode where we said that this is one of those things where the trailer looked promising, but it's a D&D movie, and like, is it just going to be like, here's a reference, but it's not going to tie together? But I think it actually really did.
Yeah.
And they put the jokes in for the people who don't play D&D, they put jokes for the people who do, and then it just was really well done, and it's made from people who understand D&D as well.
Yeah, I was about to say that as well.
Story. So
it didn't make it like silly, like just focusing on, because it is a weird world, and inherently D&D is like you are playing the character. But I think they captured that you can't translate that well. So let's make a good film first and foremost, and then let's build around that in the world that we're in. And that's why it worked. It was a good film first, and then a D&D film, I think, second.
Yeah. Agreed. Great choice. Thanks for number three. So I'm going to go next because I'm next on the screen.
Sure.
So,
most important.
This isn't a democracy.
Yeah. We're not going to complain. You're the almighty Chris.
I have the power to record and not record. So as a pre-warning, like I said, I didn't watch as many films as I did, but not the ones from this year, unfortunately. So I've seen a lot of the big hitters, a lot of the, you know, the box office ones, which apologies to those if you're looking for, you know, your lesser seen indie cinemas from me. You ain't getting it. So my third worst film. And in the vein of films that probably were written by AI, if Zack Snyder hadn't really banged on about it, is Rebel Moon.
Yeah, it's really bad.
To the point where I haven't finished it.
Neither did I. It's so dull. I'm not investing that much time in a film like that.
Neither did I. That's so funny. Oh, did no one finish it? Did we all not finish it? Maybe the ending really carries it back. Maybe people are gonna message in and be like, "You losers, you missed the best."
Wait, he's got two more tries.
Good grief!
It was
awful. and a director's cut coming in January.
What? It's already so long.
He's milking that Snyder cut for everything.
Yeah, he's but I always get it right the second time around. Like, do you know?
did you?
But yeah. I mean. Talk about just such a disjointed, like, it's like they threw all the ideas at board and then it just landed and they went, yeah, there you go, that's the script. And then they've basically gone, what have Star Wars not done, or what have they done that we can do the same but just call it different things as well? It was basically, there's a lot of ripping off. There's a lot of space opera and stuff that we've seen before, and then everything that we haven't seen before is kind of just
I don't want to butt in for there, Chris, but I'm sure Toby has some thoughts on this as well. I feel Games Workshop should sue him because like that
it is basically just plagiarism, the movie.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff in there. I was like, this is just Warhammer 40k, but bad, but really bad.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff people are going like, oh, I haven't seen that before, that's rubbish. I was like, that's from Warhammer, but he's done it really bad. Like, really bad.
Yeah.
It's one for the Snyder fans because they are never wavering in their support for their supreme leader. I just don't understand how a second film is going to rescue it, or why you should even bother. really. Yeah. It just, I don't know. Anyway, that's my thoughts on Rebel Moon. I will finish it one day when I've got time.
This year sometime.
This year at some point. Yeah, for our 2024 review, I'll finish Rebel Moon.
You could summarize your thoughts on the next one.
My third best choice, we were just discussing, is John Wick Chapter 4, which, Ian, I know you're a recent convert to the John Wick franchise.
I am indeed. We unfortunately have only watched one of them. So
he'll catch up soon. He'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Well,
sorry.
Well, what I was saying about it was that actually I think John Wick 4 is the best John Wick. And I say that with no... I don't say that lightly. Mm-hmm. I've loved John Wick for a long time since it came out, which is action films aren't really my thing. Like that, ones like The Raid, things like that, that are great. Epics. Classics. Obviously, they're classics. But John Wick was one of those that on paper didn't really look like, you know, as much as I love Keanu Reeves. At the time, I was a bit skeptical, but remember, and obviously as soon as they killed the dog, spoilers for the first film, I was like, wow, this man has every right to do what he's doing. Yeah. So, you know.
Never a better motivation for a movie.
And who'd have known that four films later that would have culminated where it is. Obviously, I won't go into spoilers because John Wick 4 has so much in it that even if I wanted to go into spoilers, I wouldn't know where to start. But needless to say, like I was saying, while Keanu doesn't have a lot of lines, he has maybe, I think the longest line he has is 13 words long, and he has maybe 20 lines or something in the whole film.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, yeah. Or, you know, but what the action's great, the supporting cast is great, especially Donnie Cheng, who is in it. He is probably the standout, absolutely. There's action. It goes to Japan, it goes to France, it goes to all these places. It builds on all the lore and the legacy, which does in 2 and 3, and it becomes this massive John Wick world, which on
sounds
paper,
like a theme park.
Yeah, John Wick world.
John Wick world.
I would go there.
Come watch your dog get killed, and then you can kill other people.
I don't want to go there anymore.
It's like, as you say, it's like Hunger Games, but everyone's John Wick. But yeah, I think, because like I say, the 2 and 3 really build on the lore of what the hotel is and what the world of assassins, and 4 really brings a lot of that together. And a lot of it is utterly ridiculous stuff that is just keeps escalating into all these other entities and people. But it's just so well done and so much fun that watching it is just like, yeah, it's 3 hours long. And even then I was like, I could easily go another hour of this. It's so much fun. But yeah, that's my best pick, third best pick for 2023. Toby, you're number threes.
So, my worst number three, I'd say, is The Creator. I don't know if any of you have seen this.
I have. I watched it over the Christmas break, right? After me and you had a conversation. So after we went
I had my rant together.
Yeah. We went to a pub and Toby went, I've watched this terrible sci-fi and I'm going to tell you how bad it is. And he gave me the whole plot. And I was like, God, that sounds terrible. I mean, it was on my list.
I have to watch it.
And I was like, oh, should I watch it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
God. Yeah.
What? Talk about wasted potential. I mean, it's kind of akin to Rebel Moon. Like, I mean, what the one saving grace to it is that it was cheap. It was made on the cheap. And it goes to show that you can still make something that looks visually good for cheap. You don't have to go 200 million to make a good movie in terms of a visual aesthetic. In terms of a plot, however, if there was ever a movie that was written by AI, it's this flipping movie.
Nice save, right? Nice save.
It's this fudging movie. I'm very passionate. But, it was such
awful.
Most of the films that I didn't like this year, I'm kind of being more biased towards how much more disappointed I am in them opposed to how objectively bad they are. And this was one that I was actually looking forward to. So, like Gareth Evans, like, he's made some good movies, but The plot is derivative.
Yeah.
I felt none of the character momentum or motivations felt earned or honest to the movie. I mean, the core mechanic of the movie is that you've got, I can't even remember the lead protagonist's name.
It's just the protagonist. He's the protagonist in every film.
Oh, again, in Tenet. Him and protagonist child are, who's actually a robot. She's a secret weapon for the AI, and it's another human AI conflict, artificial intelligence. And there were some good ideas. There were some good concepts. It was just really poorly executed. Yeah. And I just felt none of the lead motivation throughout the whole film was ever really earned or rewarding in any way. And any of the twists were so telegraphed from the very get-go. It was a very hard watch. And I kept trying to convince myself, oh, no, it's got promise. See how it goes. And then the next reveal was something equally more frustrating and trite and derivative. So, yeah, for number three, for the worst film, I would definitely say
completely
the creator,
agree with you. Like, I
was so disappointed.
Totally agree. I thought it was,
and I don't understand why people have been crazy.
I don't get it either. I don't really get it. I thought it was like watch Elysium or watch Blade Runner or Read iRobot.
Yeah,
and these are all better.
Or watch Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, the military group at the beginning. I was like,
it was
aliens,
all Terminator.
There's aliens there.
Yeah, well, it just felt like a marriage visually of all the best sci-fi components. So you had. Everything had a very Neil Blomkamp visual style. What, so like visually, it kept reminding me of District 9 and Elysium, both of those.
I like how Ian went, watch Elysium, watch Blade Runner, read iRobot.
Yeah, don't watch that film. Don't watch that film.
I mean, you're not wrong, but just took a minute. I purposely haven't got around to watching this film based on Toby's.
Oh, I should have listened to you, Toby. I should have listened to you, especially the end. Weirdly, it's so funny how you describe that. I was the exact same. I was like, oh, the next thing might be okay. No, the next thing might be okay. And then the end is the most contrived crap that I ever, like, I'll try not to spoil it, but how and why did the humans have a robot version of that person in the space station? It didn't.
Yeah,
just lying around. And I was just like, what is going on? It was so bad. I love that it takes place in New Asia for the majority of the film. New Asia is either Vietnam, Tokyo, or Tibet. That's Asia now. Those are the three locations.
It's just generic.
Just generic Asia. Just
someone who hasn't read a globe or seen a globe or knows really like the topography of the world or anything like
that's
that.
That's Asia.
It's like, it's Asia. Flat Asia. Yeah. Yeah, it's all the same. It's all it's a hodgepodge together. And it
awful.
Yeah. I like the filming style. Like, it was very guerrilla, you know, get into sort of the actual locations themselves and sort of film the scene, and then, you know, more sort of the old school ways of filming. You get your set, you film your set, you get the bits and pieces together, and then the AI comes together and puts all the CGI together. And or the CGI puts the AI in place. But what one thing I thought was unique was, and it could also be a weakness in the script writing, was that apparently none of the cast knew whether or not they were a robot or not robot. So it's like not even the cast really knew what the hell was going on. So it is like, that's a recipe for some solid plot work. You know? What's my motivation? I don't know. What's your motivation? I don't know. Am I AI? Are you AI? I don't know. Yeah,
that's mental.
Yeah. It was a poor... poor movie. Should I talk about my best?
Yeah.
So number three for the best is, well, spoilers, it's John Wick 4. I can't really say anything more than just echo what Chris said. It was a fantastic movie. It really kept your attention throughout the whole runtime, despite the fact it was a long one. And I know we've all had our piece about how long runtime does not denote a good movie, but this one kept me wanting more. And all I'm just going to say is dragon fire rounds and top down
shooting scene. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll not say more because these two obviously haven't watched it. So just wait. It's actually so good.
I retract everything and say Toby's right. That's the best part of the whole film.
It's so good. It's so good.
Nice.
Yeah. That's all I'll say. But yeah. John Wick 4.
As soon as you guys get onto it, then let us know.
Yeah.
What your thoughts?
Great time.
Awesome. Thanks, Toby. Simone.
So I also have not watched many films this year.
It's cost of living. Cost of living. It's expensive.
Well, I mean, like, I spent like 6 months sitting on the sofa unemployed, so I don't really have an excuse.
Well, that is your excuse.
I had no money. But yeah, my number three on my worst list is 65.
Oh,
yeah.
The sneaky dinosaur.
Sneaky, so sneaky. Also, I mean, what
sneaky
can I say?
Enough, that's for sure.
The film, the plot line was stupid. The film was stupid. Everything was stupid. Everything was stupid. CGI was stupid. Everything.
Adam Driver,
I didn't like that film.
Stupid.
Adam Driver, stupid. No,
yeah, we like it.
He was fine. He was fine in this film. Yeah, I was just. I don't think I've ever been so underwhelmed by a film.
Yeah, I was the same. I got around to watching it. Just I think. Before December, and I was just like, I watched it in phases. I was like, I'm not bothered about watching this in one go. I just came back and resumed, and that was it.
Yeah, it's just so like, there's just so much about that film. It's just, I don't know. I'm just like, so it's in the future, but like, why is she speaking in alien past? And why is she speaking this alien language?
But
and
he can
why
speak
don't they
English.
Have translators?
That's the other thing as well.
And why is he speaking English? Yeah. And why are things miles? And oh, just don't even get me started.
I feel like we did talk about this on a podcast at some point.
I feel like we talked about it
just in passing how much at great length. We hated it like so much. I can't remember when, but we were just like, it was a passing, like, oh, what have you guys done? And it turned into Simone just going, it was dreadful. I hated it.
If I could give a film a zero, I would give it
you can. You have that right here. You can give a film a
it
zero.
It was just terrible. It doesn't even get a broadly.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And the on my third best film is Cocaine Bear.
Woo! Good choice. Solid choice.
I mean, like, it was all round fun. Like, it was just genuinely a pleasure to sit and watch this bear on cocaine.
It does what it says on the tin. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. It literally does.
It does exactly what it says on the tin. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed Cocaine Bear. The acting was great. It was funny. Watching the little bears on cocaine at the end.
I forgot about that. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it shocked and surprised me, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
In many ways, it's an emotional story as well. You know, you're on a journey with this bear, and it's
with
survival. You know, it's like Free Willy, but with a bear.
And it's hopeful rehabilitation stories.
The kids are great. The kids are great in that film as well, which is
they are actually
always true. Two kid actors are really good in that. And I've like I said before, I haven't watched a lot of films this year, but I have seen Cocaine Bear 3 times. So.
An addiction in its own right, you know.
That's where my priorities clearly are.
Great choice.
But yeah, that's a solid choice for number three. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So round one done. Our third best. We're on to our second best. Ian, your second worst and second best.
Yeah,
films.
Worst. Go. I know Simone's going to cover some now that she's mentioned 65. So I might have to change some of my just because I'm like 65 may have been my worst film. So I might have to reconsider that. But I'm going to go with. Because I've got like on my letterboxd here, I have like all the films and how they're rated. I'm going to probably go with like maybe what Toby was talking about in terms of disappointing and how I was looking forward to it and thus disappointed. I'm going to go with, it's difficult.
I think I know what he's going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't want to say it. Is it something about what you messaged us about the
No, actually, no. That's in my...
I'm just hoping it's not my one.
it's kind of just sitting in the middle, that one. Do you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm gonna go atomic here, and I'm going to go for Oppenheimer as my second worst film. I'm going to do it. I was going to say Blue Beetle. Right? Because I was actually really disappointed by Blue Beetle. But I gave Oppenheimer on my Letterboxd a 2 out of 5, which means it was broadly bad in our sort of rating. The reason I'm going to go for it is, one, for the controversy, because we love listeners. This one's going on the UK film, so they're going to be like, you piece of... And I'm like, I'm there for that. I'm here for the hate. Bring it on. Bring me the hate. I'm on Instagram. Come find me. But...
at Ian Lenny, for those who don't know.
Bring the heat. I'm ready for it.
I'll put it in the bio for us.
But I think the reason, and you can also find us at the Phantom Zone as well on Instagram. You can do that too.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm going to pick it, and there are films I think that are objectively worse than Oppenheimer, but the reason I am going to pick it is because I think it insists on itself. It's a film that's so long, and it's so obnoxious. And like, it's, I've had people be like, oh, it's an anti-war film. What bit's an anti-imperial film? It's just about one guy building this bloody bomb. And apparently women don't matter anyway in his life. He just hates women. Yeah. It's a film that, at least on my other list, Super Mario Bros. is way worse. But at least a female character in it's got more to say than in this. Like, Jesus. Talk about not caring about women. Just, she's a drunk. Who cares? Get rid of her. Build your bomb. Like, it was... I just found it obnoxious, and like, it's everything bad about Christopher Nolan's films, which you can go listen to our other episode where we debate it. It's just everything that's bad about his films in cinema. So like, too many cuts, no real story, not well written, terrible dialogue, nobody's got any depth character, terrible female characters. Yeah. Just there you go. And it wasn't even a 1 star I gave it.
What did you give it?
I gave it 2, but now I might reconsider it. On that rant.
Simone, that's the other side of our ongoing Nolan debate. How do you feel about that? Is Oppenheimer, I guess, in your top films of the year, or does what Ian says have some merit? I know we've obviously gone over this a bunch, but 2 stars. I think you and I were a bit more sympathetic towards Oppenheimer at the time.
Yeah, I do think it does have merit. I thought we had to do 5 films, and my 5th worst film was Oppenheimer.
Okay,
so.
You're right. Okay. Okay.
Not because it's in itself, I think it's a badly made film. I actually think it does have high points. Especially the stuff at, oh God, I've forgotten what it's called, Los Alamos. That, I think that is just approaching perfection. Like, I think that was so well made. And that shows what Nolan is capable of and can do. The rest of the film, what the fudge? yeah, really, really struggled with it. But I wouldn't say that it's the worst film. I think it was more the disappointment because I had such... It had such promise, and I thought that Nolan, this was going to be the one, this was going to be his magnum opus, and it just wasn't. Mm. It's still Inception.
I will say that, you know, there are films that are objectively worse on my list, which we will talk about, than Oppenheimer, but I think the reason why I have such a visceral reaction with Nolan anyway, and this is a problem with him broadly, is that he's so hyped that it makes me dislike those films more. Like, if people just liked them to the level they should be liked, I'd probably be like, oh yeah, this was fine. But the fact that people are saying to me, this deserves to win the Oscar, this is the... And before it was even released, people were like, give him it now. I'm like, what are you talking about? Just can't bring it down. There is nothing in my life.
The contrarian in me is agreeing with it. I disagree with it.
There is no film in my life that I'm going to like get that viscerally. Like, even Blade Runner, which I think is like a piece of art, I'm not going to be like, just give it the Oscar. Just do it now. just do it now. I'm like, oh God, Jesus, like, calm it down. So that's, I will say, to agree with Simone, it is not objectively a badly made film. It's just too overhyped. Because of that, it's in my list.
A lot of Nolan's films, particularly in terms of the visuals, a lot of that's the cinematographer opposed to actually him.
Yeah.
Let's give people the light of day.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to hire well, like, good people. But the cinematographer did the most of that work.
He'd be great in recruitment. He's just... Yeah.
He is PK.
The fans are coming for all of us now, man. Coming for all of us now.
Like, he can surround himself with very talented people.
Very true.
And he does bring
like,
out
what's his face? Who's the composer?
Hans Zimmer.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, Hans Zimmer.
Pretty much.
Oh, no, actually, no, this one was not.
No, it wasn't.
It was Ludwig, the guy who does Childish Gambino stuff, his name I can't remember.
Ludwig Göransson. Yeah.
Which was, that's again, one. Very talented guy. That he's...
The Mandalorian theme tune.
He had Black Panther soundtrack. You had to get Star Wars in there somewhere.
You bet your sweet ass! And Black Panther.
Yeah, I think, talented people he surrounds himself by, but... Let us not get too onto Nolan because we'll be here forever otherwise.
Pandora's box.
Yeah, the fans are coming for us.
I mean, yes, he's good at hiring people, but it's also like buying a really good footballer. It's like, you know, he's good. So it's just like, I'm having him on my team. You know, it's not like these people weren't good before he came along. So, but they do add a lot of quality to his films that I think goes unrecognized because of, as you said, Ian, the hype that surrounds Nolan, which is too high. It's too damn high.
My face at the moment is, did I lie?
and a lot of what the criticisms that we've all said about Oppenheimer and our common themes in Nolan's films, the portrayal of women generally is a massive one, especially when you put it next to Barbie the same day. Yeah. I think the middle hour of Oppenheimer is really good. The bomb sequence is one of the best things I've seen in a film for a long time. I think it's so well done. But
amazing dialogue in there, but
that's why it's so good. And the bookends of that film really fall apart. And that's where the problem is. It definitely wasn't for me one of the best films of the year. I think I got a bit more of it than you, like we said, but yeah. So Oppenheimer, number two. What's your best? Second best?
So this one, kind of cool. I enjoyed this one. There's so many films that are on the same level. And I say so many films. There's actually three films that I gave all 4 stars to. So it was really tough to pick between these three. So one will go into my honorable mentions, but I'm going to go with They Cloned Tyrone on Netflix. Really liked this film. I really enjoyed its sci-fi sort of setting within the context of African-American society in America and the Black experience, but also the fact that it kind of puts a lens on Blaxploitation films, which I think are great, but its three protagonists are like different aspects of those styles of films. So you have like a 1970s pimp from the Blaxploitation, you have John Boyega, who I didn't realize it was John Boyega till like...
Really?
Well, no, until like a point, not late on, it wasn't the end of the film, and I was like, oh my God, that's John Boyega!
That's John Boyega!
But for like a good 5 minutes, I was like, it's this young, new, talented actor here.
That's John Boyega!
John Boyega. End of the film.
I thought he was
outstanding,
so
but him playing sort of like a Boys in the Hood style representation in this film as well. I really like that they melded different styles of Black cinema into one film, but then also had just a really interesting plot. It was really interesting. Yeah. And I forget the actress's name. What's her name? She's in Marvel.
Tiona.
What was her name?
Tiona Paris.
There we go. She's great. She's like genuinely fantastic in it as well. I really enjoyed it. Great time. I recommend anybody go watch it. It's on Netflix. I don't want to say too much because I think a part of this film is not knowing the spoilers. And I thought it was really, really good. Great performances. And also, I would say if you know, we haven't touched upon it yet because we're going to talk about it probably on our podcast, so go listen to that. Go listen to that. Obviously, somebody's been fired from Marvel right now and they need a good villain.
What?
They need somebody to replace them. Why not John Boyega? He's great in this. Like, he's really, really, really good in this. I saw somebody online saying, get Denzel Washington to replace them. I was like, no, that's a terrible idea. Get John Boyega.
Let's get a 30-something-year-old and then let's cast a 60-year-old to replace him.
I mean, if not older. If you are going to replace them, which maybe you shouldn't anyway, let's just maybe get rid of that character. But if you are, John Boyega might be a good shout. He's very good in this. Like, very...
He might be done with Disney, though.
Fair play, actually, after Star Wars. Yeah, that's a very good point. But he's very sinister in this. He plays, like, a downtrodden character really well. Great performance.
Yeah. He's got range.
He's got range.
The guy has range.
I like him ever since Attack the Block.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%. So good. So good. So good.
He deserves every success because he is very good at what he does. And I mean, I agree. I think maybe Disney, the whole thing is over for him now. He's not to be cynical. He's done his big films. He's made his money. He can now do what he wants, which, you know, it's kind of what I call Daniel Radcliffe algorithm.
Make your money early and then
do what. Do the weirdest stuff you ever want to do, because that's clearly what Daniel Radcliffe
Swiss Army does. Man, that and was I, weird.
And I thought Guns Akimbo, get some guns attached to your hand. If you've never seen Guns Akimbo, you have
really like that movie.
So good. But John Boyega should do exactly the
true.
Same.
And just I feel go, like that falls into this. Yeah, I feel like that falls into it. You know, just do what you want and do something good. And that's this.
100%. Great choice. Number two. For my, I've not gone down the disappointing route. I've gone down the objective. This was a terrible, terrible film route. And it was going to feature at some point. In fact, my one and two were interchangeable. But two is The Flash. Toby's expression seems it should be higher or, you know, on its own list. We've talked about The Flash multiple times and continue to, and I don't want to upset Toby more than I need to.
I feel like it might be coming up, that's for sure.
Oh, spoilers!
But what a car crash of a film that was. From everything to having Ezra Miller still in it. I'm not gonna touch too much on it because I feel like there's more to be said from a certain individual in a minute. We kind of knew it was going to be bad, but my God, was it terrible. It was just, apart from Keaton, obviously, because he's Michael Keaton, but even that was not enough to save the car wreck that was The Flash. So that's why it wins my number two spot for worst film of 2023. But on a more positive note, my second best film of the year was Barbie.
Fair play.
Because I had a lot of high hopes for Barbie because Greta Gerwig, main reason, she's a fantastic director and writer and filmmaker, and everything she's done so far before Barbie was amazing. And then you have Margot Robbie not just starring and producing. From when we saw the first trailer, it looked great, and then going to see it, especially alongside Oppenheimer, which kind of might have skewed my views a bit as well, given, as we've spoken about, the portrayal of women. But I think it was just, it was joyous, which is one word for it. The production of it, the way it looked and the way it felt in the story and everything came together, but mostly the performances, namely by Margot Robbie and of course Ryan Gosling as Ken, who I think
sublime
is absolutely incredible. I love that the whole thing was really just about horses in the end, which we established. But I think it really played up the whole what it was trying to do in a really clever and funny, but poignant and serious way at the same time. And it really managed to juggle a lot. And it was only in 90 minutes, which shows that you can do a lot of good stuff in 90 minutes. And you don't need 3 hours, although some films do manage that, but 90 minutes to do what they did. And for Greta Gerwig, I'm so happy for her, most of all, that it was a smash, because she absolutely deserves it. So that is why Barbie was my number two.
Hey. We all loved Barbie. I really enjoyed it as well. It was a good time. Yeah. It's a good time.
So, Toby, your second worst film.
Not the one we think. Might come later. Spoilers. No, my worst, again, it's all disappointment. Roads to disappointment for me. It's Asteroid City.
Oh, man. Oh. Interesting.
That is an interesting Asteroid choice.
People are going to hate us.
Do
you know what's interesting? They're gonna hate us.
Interesting, but not uncommon. I was so disappointed in this movie. It was something I was really looking forward to. It was one of the top films I was looking forward to.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Not off the sort of like blockbuster superhero mill sort of films. I love Wes Anderson movies. I've enjoyed all of them. Life Aquatic by Steve Zissou is up there with my top. I always love Mr. Fantastic's Fox as well. But this was one that, again, had all the recipe for something phenomenal, had such a good cast, and all the trailers made it look like a classic waiting to happen with Wes Anderson. And just watching it, I just felt so lost throughout it. Like, I just felt that there was nothing, it couldn't, maybe TikTok has destroyed Wes Anderson, because he's become such a trend on TikTok and all these Wes Anderson-esque like TikToks and things, that I felt like he kind of just got typecast in his own movie. It's like, well, that is what I am, so that's what I'm going to make. Very like pastel-esque, great scenes, like the set pieces looked great. Just nothing really coalesced, though. Yeah. It had a great cast, had great set pieces. The filmography was great, but it just felt very much paint by numbers. Mm-hmm. And it felt like he'd got lost in the message of the movie, if there was one. And the plot just kind of meandered, and it took a real, have we all seen it?
I felt like,
spoilers, when you see the alien, per se, that's where everything sort of takes a huge left field. And then it tries to become really art house. And the theater scene, I just felt like, where is he going?
Why I'm
this?
Laughing is, I messaged our friend, Rory, and said the second that alien bit happened, I was like, he's jumped the shark. He's jumped the shark.
Because I was
you, Toby, did not like this film, really. Like, it's not in my worst. It was going to be in my dishonorable mentions, but I just was like, what? I knew what I kind of got vaguely. Like, I watched a video afterwards to be like, did I get the idea of this? And it's like, it's meant to be like, loss and losing somebody and like accepting that, like but I just felt like if they had just stuck to the desert, that would have all worked. But But the second it started doing very typical, as you said, Wes Anderson-y, sort of like, well, I've got to tell a story within a story because people love Grand Budapest Hotel. So now I need to tell a story within a story within a story. And it's going to fluctuate between them. I just found it a mess.
But the thing is, he's executed the plot of Loss so much better.
Yeah.
In far, like Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
Is almost the entirety of that film is about them dealing with the loss of their father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so better executed.
Agreed.
And it just felt really tight and contrived in this. And I was just so disappointed and I was so excited to watch it.
Yeah. That's kind of my feeling. I didn't really dislike it, but I kind of ended up just kind of apathetic towards it in the end, where I was just a bit like, you've done much better than this, Wes. What's going on?
Well, it irritated me.
I've loved Wes Anderson for years and the films he's made, but this was kind of, it was just a bit, okay.
I gave it 1.5, which is actually worse than Oppenheimer, technically, but I just was like, this, I just found it very obnoxious with his own, like, style, which I get directors have their own style, but I think, like you, Toby, he got lost in the sauce. Got way lost in the sauce. Yeah. He's jumped the shark. He's lost in the sauce. Every other thing you can...
he became the TikTok he was being memed about. Like, he really did. It was so disappointing. So that was my worst. In terms of my best, I don't know if anyone else has got to seen it yet, but Godzilla Minus One.
Interesting. I have seen it.
Is my number two best.
I have seen it.
I managed to get to see it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I've heard like really good things about it.
It is very good for me. I'm a big kaiju monster movie man.
I thought you were saying I'm a big kaiju.
I am a big kaiju. I am a big monster man. Hear me roar.
I'd watch that. Godzilla.
Toby. It's a landslide win.
For you?
For me. But I take all the legendary MonsterVerse movies with a grain of salt, and I really enjoy them for what they are. Mm-hmm. They may not be great films, but they're very much like the popcorn smash films, which I really enjoy. But this one felt more akin to the classic Godzilla, very much the 1954.
You don't mean the 1997 version?
No. I'm going deeper underground. that great song aside.
As a banging tune.
Yeah. Jamiroquai. But no, I felt this was a classic homage to the original Toho movie. And I felt one of the biggest complaints of monster movies or any sort of, you know, be it Transformers or what have you, is the human element is always the weaker side. And in this one, I didn't think that was the case. You know, I was invested in the character development. I felt that the characters, whilst sometimes I understand there was a little bit of maybe difficulty in understanding the mindset that they were in, because it's a very different culture, there's a very different time period, but you, in a very quick amount of time, empathize with these characters and you can understand what they're going through. But then when Godzilla comes on the screen, he's like a tour de force, which is what he should be. And I just felt that it really captured the essence of what Godzilla was supposed to be and the original message of what Godzilla was supposed to represent in the original movie. And I just felt like it was just such a good homage, but also just a great reinvention of a film for the modern audience. I thought it was fantastic. I really liked it. It's good time.
Yeah, from what I've heard about it, it sounds like it does everything that the 2014 film tried to do and just didn't do.
Yeah,
and the other one, which Millie Bobby Brown was in, and you know, it's just
it's definitely in my honorable mentions of the year, having seen it.
And it had one of the best atomic blasts.
Yeah. See, probably better than Oppenheimer, that's for sure.
Yeah. There's been a lot of memes saying that it is a companion piece to Oppenheimer. Yeah. It's the sequel to Oppenheimer.
What they should do is cut the two movies. So when the bomb goes off in Oppenheimer,
Godzilla. Yeah. I really liked it. It's definitely in my honorable mentions. My only critique of it is that I totally 100% agree with Toby saying. I guess as a fan of that 1954 version of it, I'm like, what else does it do that the 1954 doesn't? And I would be like, watch the 1954 then, because it's really good. However, that's why I still put it in my honorable mentions, because I'm like, it brings that story to a modern audience. So it does, it does what exactly Toby's saying. So it was very high up on mine. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, I agree with you, Toby. I think it's very good.
Well, well, with that in mind, this year marks the 70th anniversary of the 1954.
Well, we're going to be bloody talking about it.
We should get to go and talk about it, because I've seen that obviously 1954 is a classic. So yeah, I'm all up for that if you guys are. But yeah, good choice, Toby. Thank you.
No worries.
Simone, your second worst and second best.
My, we definitely should have, spoken about our lists, because my second worst film of the year is The Flash.
Yay!
Terrible! don't say too much, because I think somebody else is going to say something.
What a redundant list.
Somebody had a visceral
reaction. Yeah, I mean, I think I'll leave it to Toby to.
No.
You know what? I am surprised that I thought you were going to say Ant-Man.
Well,
I honestly thought Ant-Man would be in this.
I was just right. Guess...
Oh, well.
Yeah, that film was just a pile of horse dung, wasn't it? It was. It was. It wasn't very.
Ant-Man
enjoyed.
Or The Flash, or both?
Flash. Yeah, just acting, CGI, plot, everything. It didn't really have much going for it. But on to what I enjoyed, my best film.
That's it, move on.
Was Barbie. Yay! Second best film was Barbie. Yeah, I think just, I mean, Chris, you said it wonderfully. It was just, it's just a good time. And I think it was nice to like go to a cinema that was completely packed and like everyone's really enjoying a film. I don't think I've actually had that much this year, going to a cinema that was that packed, and everyone dressing up. And I just really enjoyed, I mean, the film was great. Margot Robbie's great. Ryan Gosling's great. America Ferrera's great. Yeah. I forget the woman's name who played Weird Barbie, but she's also great. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed
John
that film.
John Cena's great.
So, yay, Barbie! Yay!
Hi, Barbie!
Hi, Ken! Yeah.
Yeah, and the musical number is great. And I'm just Ken.
Just Ken.
I don't think the Oscar noms the Oscar noms come out yet. I don't know.
No, I don't think they have.
I mean, if Ryan Gosling doesn't win, we riot. That's what I say.
I mean, there's got to be a best song nomination in there at least. So, obviously I agree. Barbie was great. Whoop, whoop. We all loved it. So, yeah. So, right. Now we're going to do our round of worst films all together before we go move on to our best films.
Spicy.
So, perhaps to mix things up a bit, I'm going to go to Toby, because
Just a quick question. Sure. We're doing all of our worst, and then we're coming back. Okay, that makes sense, because we're going to come to mind, I was going to be like, should we skip my best? Because I get the impression we might all want to talk about that.
Hence why good. I thought that good might plan. Be the best good plan. Way to do that. While we don't prepare, we kind of know, I think maybe we're all in line with the best, so let's go with that. But that joke works really good on audio.
Audio video.
We'll get to that.
Spoilers away.
So I'm going to go to Toby first, because I feel like we've kind of, we're there already. So Toby, what's your worst film of 2023?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe The Flash. Oh my God. The Flash brings up so many issues in there. So triggered. No, if there was never a movie that I not only was felt so thoroughly disappointed by, but I also thoroughly hated, it was The Flash. I haven't been that disappointed in a film for a long time. They got us with a trailer.
Yeah,
all of us.
They did.
We were like, oh, that trailer looked great. Oh, I can't wait. It rekindled some form of hope. Foolish hope.
foolish ambition that this film might be good, something palatable, something we can consume. But no, we all got diarrhea from food poisoning from eating this film. It was a travesty. Never have I seen source material more butchered than Flashpoint. And we did such a good review, listen to it, about the Flashpoint comic book. Yeah. And just all the ingredients were there to make something great. You got Michael Keaton as Batman, who, I've got to say, I kind of feel this has almost marred the Batman films.
God, that's Kristen. Don't look at me there.
I thought your hate would have satiated over time. Oh, it seems to have just grown. No.
I rewatched it for the review.
Oh my God.
No. It has rekindled that fire.
Because that review, if go back to listen to that, listeners, but the review of The Flash was maybe, I've known Toby for some time and I worked with Toby and I saw Toby angry at people before. I'd never seen him that angry. That was quite a rage. It's a
vitriolic rage I have not felt for some time.
That was
I let that part of me die in, but Flash brought it back.
That was the first day I'd met you in person. I saw the whole range of emotions from you that day.
Good.
You know, we're all happy together. We'd all met up, and then suddenly you were like a mess.
It was, I was distraught. It was, the thing is, it was such a good day until we watched the film. Because it was so good to see you all in person, meeting you for the first time, Chris, in person. And it was.
And the Flash ruined it all.
And the Flash ruined it. I mean, I think you guys softened it significantly, because if I'd seen that alone,
somebody gonna get hurt.
I might not be here.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I was gonna say someone got hurt.
I'm joking.
The best bit of seeing it together was we were all watching it and we all just kept looking at each other.
Like, it was a shared experience.
Really?
Yeah. There was a point.
I remember the first run where Flash starts off, and Ian and I are sitting next to each other, and we're both just like, oh. And that was like in the first 30 seconds of the film.
There's a point where
you just see someone be kneecapped or something.
I turned to Toby.
Never having been kneecapped, but I would imagine that's much like what what an experience is like.
Part of me turned to Toby and was like, this isn't good. This is
tears are already streaming down my face.
And
I can't get any more vitriolic than I already have been, but it was a crime. And it just, the biggest thing for me is just how bad Batgirl must have been for that to be cancelled. For that to be cancelled and this piece of, what did we say, dung to to come out. God, what a disappointment. Warner Brothers, DC, God bless you.
Like, so no strong feelings then, Toby. Do? Nothing too strong.
No, not at all.
Just sneaked into your top three.
It's good to talk about.
God, that was a relaxing experience for you. Like, oh, it was nice.
Yeah. I mean, you said it all. The wasted potential, the performances, the CGI, just everything from the ground to the ceiling was just bad. Well,
thanks for joining us.
We'll make a pact to never talk about that film again. Right now. Right. So we'll go in different order. So Simone, we'll give you a chance to do your top worst film of the year now. So what is your worst film of 2023?
My worst film of 2023 is, drum roll please, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Jesus wept this film. My God. I was so looking forward to this film. I was so looking forward to this film. And it was like I ran downstairs on Christmas and there were no presents under the tree. That is what this film felt like. It was
the worst presents, but it was truly a big
head. I just got coal. That's what this film was. I can't. They are forgetting things that they'd established in earlier movies. The film didn't really say anything or do anything. It just felt It was so boring. It was so boring and so long. They had us in that cinema for 2.5 hours. And it's rude. That film was rude. <It's> rude. It is rude to keep us in the seats for that long and give us so little. I mean, Kang's character has been enjoyable in other properties and was just so meh in this.
I mean, and before this, I mean, Toby just did a face. I think the thing is, after this, we had Loki season 2, which obviously showed us a different Kang, which we didn't like either. But before this, it was just He Who Remains. We were all like, oh wow, that was good. That was real good.
And it was a great.
But Sim,
how young and naive we were.
Yeah, how innocent we were. But Sim, didn't you like the Council of Kang scene where they're all hitting their chest and there's a lizard? Didn't you think that was good?
It was lizard Kang.
It was a lizard Kang.
It was just so like that. There's nothing to get me hyped. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I left the cinema angry and upset.
Didn't you like MODOK? Like, didn't you love how they butchered MODOK? Didn't you think that was good?
It was just everything about this film. Just it gives me a bit of a headache, to be honest. Well, and
let's not stay on it too long.
I look forward to never watching it again. And I'm done.
Peace out.
Fair enough. I've
It really was the swan song of the Marvel.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Especially this phase, I mean, it felt like that. This was like
it sums
up. Everything that's come out, especially the TV shows, like Secret Invasion was terrible. But I think to myself, the effort and time and money that was probably put into this film, and this is what we got. Just that's my opinion on that.
Just how much money are they wasting on these films to be such flops?
A lot of money.
Godzilla cost $15 million.
Really makes you think, doesn't it? Like how that looked great. It did look really good. It did that atomic blast, man. It looked good.
Money. Marvel. They seem intent on just like pissing money up the wall. Like
good times.
And then they do pass
$250 million. You know, there's nothing.
They do pass into spending our hard-earned cash to go sit in the cinema for 2.5 hours, get some entertainment in these cozy lives, and they give us that. Oh,
maybe it's like a tax dodge or something. Maybe they need to get rid of
they're actually laundering money. Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, football, financial fair play. They have to spend a certain amount of money.
Probably.
I don't know. Interestingly. It's Marvel. I know we've talked about it a lot last year, but Marvel really, really have gone off the boil.
They have defecated in the bed. That's what
they have defecated in the bed all over it. It wasn't just obviously it was the worst Marvel property of the year, but not just of the year, but it's pretty low down in terms of Marvel properties as a whole. I did get around to watching it because I'm a completionist and I want to obviously make sure I'm up to date with stuff, but my God, it was a slog. It was such a slog. I remember I kept pausing to do other stuff and walking around and thinking I'm not missing anything if I come back, you know. I agree. I think we all agree Ant-Man was just it's a solid choice for your number one worst film of the year. Let's put it that way. Ian, your worst of 2023.
Well, because I hate women, it's Barbie. No, but get out of here, Ben Shapiro. Get out of here. Get out of here. Jesus.
Ben Shapiro, put your eyebrows away.
Put those eyebrows away, Ben. My least favorite, there's quite a few. 65 was actually going to be in there because I gave it half a star when we left. But as Simone has thoroughly and well dissected that film, I'm going to go for one which might cause a bit of controversy as well. But I'm going to go with Elemental by Pixar. Really, really did not like this film. I really did not like it. Like, I don't think it's
because you're racist.
Yeah, because I'm a racist. Bitch, a pit, get out of here, Ben. No, no, that's libelous. I can't say that. We don't know who he is. He's never said it. Even. Well, no, actually, he has. But with the film, cut that.
We don't know apart from his actions and his words what he does.
His well-documented words.
The reason I didn't...
I will.
Yeah. with Elemental, I felt like Pixar, I'm getting emotional about it. It just like makes me sad, I think, actually. Like, that's why it is making me emotional. Because Pixar used to make these real high notes of kids' films. Because I hate this argument when you watch, say, Super Mario Bros., which was also a film that I disliked a lot, was, it's just a kids' film. It's like, no, kids' films can still be outstanding. We rewatched over the Christmas break, Spirited Away. That is technically for kids. That is probably
phenomenal.
One of the best films ever made. It's fantastic. Elemental is just such a steep drop in the quality of what Pixar was giving us from years gone by. Now, some people might go, oh, given it your worst film of the year, it's too much, Ian. Like, you're being overdramatic. And I say to those people, maybe. But I still feel this.
Maybe, but you have just come after me and Simone talking about Arthur. So probably not quite that dramatic.
Yeah, maybe. No, I would say to those people, come at me on my Instagram again. You can come at me, it's fine. But I feel...
At Ian Lunny.
This film was just so bland and boring. And it just took, as Simone said, oh, you're racist for not liking it. It was trying to talk about, like, you know, multicultural, like, relationships. And I just personally felt that it just simplified all of that to such a gross level, to a point where it's like, well, it's for kids. It needs to be dumb. Kids aren't dumb. Stop treating kids like they're stupid. And also, it didn't make sense when this multicultural city of different elements are living together and they all don't get on because, you know, they water and fire, they don't mix. They apparently, like, the fire people left their nation because, like, their house got smashed down. But everybody in their town didn't help them. I was like, why? This storm came, destroyed one house, and everyone went, sucks to be you. Now get out. Get out of here. I just was like, what is this plot that's driving this other than you're trying... I get that it's important to show, like, multicultural relationships. I'm an advocate for that, obviously. I think that's important. But I'm also like, you can do it better than this. In fact, there are other films that do it better than this. Stop treating kids like they're dumb. That's my point with this. It's a dumb film. Kids are smart. Stop treating them like they're stupid.
Yeah. They're only going to get dumber when they keep having to consume this sort of trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, that's my opinions on Elemental. Is there worse films? Yes, I think 65 was worse. But Simone totally summed that up well. For me, this was just a ultimate disappointment of what Pixar could and used to do, you know.
Yeah
they used to be so good at the storytelling.
Yeah, the storytelling stuff, forget the visual.
It's the house of mouse
and I watched Wish this year.
I thought
was lackluster as well. You know, I feel Pixar magic is
gone a bit,
fading.
Yeah, it's sad because it's like the storytelling used to be the pinnacle of their films, and like they used to tell stories about parents moving on and, like, you know, kids growing up, and like The Incredibles I still think is the best Fantastic Four film that's ever been made. Like, it's so good. And it just felt like this was like, oh, what can we do a film about? Well, let's do a film about racial segregation and people not getting along. Well, we can't make it too serious, make it about elements, kids are stupid, it doesn't matter. And it's like, great, well, that's brilliant. You've really just bottom run and you're treating your audience like idiots. So great, well done Pixar. Good job.
Well, we've got Inside Out 2 coming out this year as well, which is interesting.
I didn't like Inside Out either, controversially. I didn't like that.
I quite liked Inside Out, but I don't feel the need for a sequel, and I don't think that Pixar's track record at the minute gives me much hope that it's going to be as high a standards as, you know, we hold Pixar from, you know, since Toy Story and etc. So
I hated it.
Fair choice.
I hated it as well because it's so woke. No, I'm joking. I'm just, Ben, get out of here, Ben. Ben.
The walking at Wokarati is.
Yeah, they're tofu eating.
Fair enough. I will. It's a good choice. Solid choice. Fair choice for your worst film. Mine. I'm gonna go straight to the top. My film I still talk about and tell people about and hate to this day. I've hated the first one since 2009 and I hate this one since this year. Avatar, Way of Water can get right in the bin as far as I'm concerned.
Wait, the whales! No!
Wait a second.
Chris, that came out in 2022.
Did hated it so much. It came into this year. You hated it. It was so hated. It bled into this year.
Oh my god!
You hated
that was a terrible.
You
film.
Hated it
was
so
terrible.
Much.
It was terrible.
Like, it has transcended years.
It ruined my second year. It ruined my year afterwards. You ruined the next year of my life.
Oh, I did as well. It came out and ended December.
It did
it?
Because we went to see it, and it was awful. We did a midnight viewing, and it was awful.
Yeah, we did.
Oh man,
yeah.
Why have I think it's 2023? Anyway, fine. I will pick a.
No, pick it. I think it's so bad. It's good. It's coming to this year. It's that bad.
It is terrible. It's still the worst film I've seen in the last, you know,
rant about it, man. You go years. For it. You 13
months. I honestly thought it was.
I know. I still stick by it. I think I watched somebody do a top.
It's because I think about it every day.
Yeah. Somebody did a top 10. I think it was.
How does James Cameron keep getting away with it?
I watched a. Is it Jeremy Johns? He's another a film reviewer who's quite good on YouTube. His number 10 best film of this year was a re-release of The Abyss. So you can have this.
I'll take it.
You can have it.
My worst film of 2023 is the Blu-ray release of Avatar.
Terrible, mate. And now they're inflicting it on our eyes at home. It's awful.
Yeah, I think we did the podcast after that as well, which might have snuck into this year or something. But either way, it's fresh in my head.
I mean, it was released onto Disney Plus this year. Yeah. So
there you go.
There you go.
I'm counting it. It's the worst film released by James Cameron
this year. This year
on Disney Plus this year. Yes.
Yeah, it's terrible. The whales.
Yeah, I feel like the whales
it's
are just
too, it's too it's
and I can say so many words. It's ridiculous. The weird over-sexualization of the daughter still creeps me out to this day. The dialogue, the whole
Scorny Weaver in it as well. What's going on there?
It's all weird.
Oh god! Oh, why did you bring that back into my mind? Oh,
sorry. I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm changing my number one to that as well.
You know what? As well, when you guys were doing your worst, I was like, no one's mentioned Avatar. Right. I was like, now I know why. Because I'm an idiot. Because I'm an absolute twat.
It's all right. Anyway, mine, I've changed on. It. I've changed it. Mine is also that now.
Right.
It's all right.
Mine's Black Adam.
Great.
Okay, so moving on from that ridiculousness that is me. We're going to move on to our best film of the year. And now, this one, for me, mine did come out this year, I promise. Because I think we might all be on the same page.
Could be unanimous.
Yeah, I think so.
So do we want to do it on three?
Yeah.
Okay, so on three. One, two, three.
Spider-Man
across the Spider-Man.
I knew there'd be one. Yeah, so across the Spider-Verse. Who wants to start? Why this was
I don't mind.
The best of 2023.
Anybody.
Simone, you start.
What a breath of fresh air. What a breath of fresh air. Just showing you what cinema can be. It was just a joy to watch. It was funny. It was heartbreaking. It added something new to, like, it's something that we've not seen on the screen before in terms of the Spider-Man story. Absolutely beautiful, stunning Spider-Gwen's universe is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I when it finished, I was genuinely like, no.
Yeah.
Don't finish. I need part two now. I need to know what's happening. I need to know where this is going. Oh, so good. Just, yeah. I absolutely phenomenal. 10 out of 10. 10, 10, 10 across the board, as Beyonce says.
100% agree.
She loved this film as well. Beyonce was a big fan of it. Queen Bee loved it, you know?
I'd find it hard to find someone who wouldn't love this film going into it. Ian, thoughts on Spider-Man?
Yeah, I think it very much what Simone was saying. Like, it is just genuinely outstanding. And we joke when I was saying Into the Spider-Verse. Into the Spider-Verse was probably my favorite film of that year. And I couldn't see how it could be topped because it was so fantastic. But they went and did it. They went and did it. Like, if it's not better, it's just as good. Maybe better. I think the soundtrack maybe is a bit better in Into the Spider-Verse, but the film itself is like, I don't know, I just think they're so great and they've connected each other really well. I love the Dot is just a background character from the first film who's in this one. He's an amazing villain that, you know, not necessarily a villain I would have been like from the comics. Oh yeah, the Dot, that's gonna be
Spot.
Oh, I've ruined it. Oh, no. Is it too soon?
I gotta be that guy.
God, Ian, get your facts right.
I was gonna say, is it too soon to say I've done a Chris, or is that? what is it then? The spot. The spot is like such a good villain, and not one that I would have thought translated to be so, you know, dark. Into a film, it's really dark. Like their whole plot and them getting sucked into their own world and stuff. But I love again how they did that into different animated universes. I love how they did that again with the art styles. It's just stunning. The character development's amazing. Michael McGarrett, is it McGarrett?
Miguel O'Hara.
God, I'm terrible today. Oh God, the podcast ruined it. again, fantastic character. And what I love about it as well is that they understood what fans liked from the first film and they really stuck to that, and they didn't go, right, we need to reinvent the wheel. What they did was, we have a story we're telling, we're going to tell that story and we're going to build everything around it. So like, those do you remember this, do you remember that, wasn't the film. They were just like little things added in it, like the first animated Spider-Man like cartoon where he's swinging and then he's too slow and freezes. That's a little thing for us as fans to be like, oh, that's good. But it wasn't what the film was about. The film was a story and I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Toby?
I mean, for me, it's a visual masterpiece. And I mean, it's art in motion. I get really passionate about animated movies. You know, I've on this podcast, it's been widely recorded that I am an advocate for all things animation. And I think this is, it's up there with the peak of animation for me. Miles Morales is a phenomenal character. And I think this highlights how good he is and how every bit a Spider-Man he is. It's not just, oh, he's Spider-Man 2 or another Spider-Man. He is very much an equal party to Peter Parker. And I feel like these movies and the Spider-Man games sort of exemplify that as to why he's such a good character. And everything, I would certainly say that this is an improvement. The only weakness is that it's a part one of two. So the fact that we have to wait for a part two is crippling. And the fact that it also got postponed because of the strikes and things was also harder to deal with. But rightfully so, but it's phenomenal. And I would disagree with Ian where I think the score actually is improved upon the first one, because I feel that each character really has an individual
musical
tone.
That's fair.
And like the opening monologue with Gwen, when she's summarizing,
yeah, that's very true. Actually.
The opening, the whole previous movie, and you've got the drum solo and her and the Mary Jane.
True. Play. Yeah.
It was so good. It was so powerful. And like, whilst the Prowler had a very iconic theme tune in Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse, Miguel O'Hara's 2099.
Oh yeah, that
was
Yeah,
was so iconic as well.
It's true. You've convinced me. That, you're right, Toby.
Of course, I'm right. And Daniel Pemberton is really like an unsung composer, but I think for these two movies in particular, he's just sublime.
Yeah.
And did you know? Just fun fact, I found this out that the noise in the Prowler is made by an elephant. Guttural call noise. It's not. I thought it was like a synthesizer. It's an elephant.
With a cold or just like...
Yeah, apparently. Just random fact. I like that.
That's a good fact.
Love a bit of trivia.
But I it's without a doubt top film of the year for me, without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. And it goes to show that superhero fatigue is not
existing. It's not a thing, guys.
Doesn't exist if you just get good content.
Just make good films, like guys.
Not superhero fatigue, it's bad film fatigue. That's what we've come up with.
We've coined that. Get out of here, every other podcast.
Content fatigue. That's the 2023 message.
Less is more. I can't add anything else that hasn't already been said. Yeah, it builds so well upon the first one, which gives me nothing but good hopes and good vibes for Beyond Spider-Verse.
Could be best superhero trilogy, maybe.
Could be the best superhero trilogy of all time. Fingers crossed. The performances are great. The animation, I mean, I listened back to our episode dedicated to this, but for reasons I had to sit at the very front row of the cinema up like this at the screen. And even then, I didn't care because everything I saw was absolutely fantastic. I think the way it handles its characters, the way it handles all the story, the way it moves through the Spider-Verse seamlessly, but it's so much fun, yet you don't lose track of what's going on, which is, it could have just been like a complete blurred mess, but they execute it so beautifully that it's incredible. And absolutely, since watching it, I think we said at the time, like, I don't think there'll be a film that comes out this year that tops it. And we said that pretty much from when we came out of the cinema from it, and it hasn't, clearly. So, here we are. So our official podcast film of 2023 is...
Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the Spider-Verse. We've agreed on something. So 2023 had a lot, including a movie that came out in 2022, apparently. I work in the Chinese New Year, so, you know, that's how that works. 2024... has a lot of films out. Is there anything particularly excited for or not excited for, Ian?
Oh, 2 seconds. Go to Simone. Go to Simone.
Simone.
I'm excited for Poor Things, which has been on a lot of 2023 best film lists, but actually hasn't been released in the United Kingdom.
I hate that. Yeah. There's so many films like that. I'm like, for God's sake.
Not released until the 12th of January. I know, I'm eager to buy tickets. And of course, Dune Part 2.
On mine as well. I've got my list up now. We can come back.
Fair enough. Ian, your list?
So Dune Part 2 is my number one that I'm really looking forward to. I think that's going to be amazing. In the same vein as Simone, there's a film that's coming out which came out last year, but it's called Zone of Interest, which is a film about the Nazi concentration camps. But it's from the perspective of the commandant, which I think is going to be very interesting. Zone of Interest, which has got a lot of hype around it, but again, doesn't come out over here till bloody sometime later in the year, which I'm just really annoyed by that. So films that are actually coming out, I'm really, as an interesting one, I'm looking forward to, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the first one, the Joker film, the part two.
I've got that on my
list. Just because it's a musical. I'm like, I mean, that is the reason. I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be like. Simone, I'm surprised you didn't mention, but Furiosa, Mad Max Saga. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know.
As well,
yeah, Russell, yeah, and then the last one, which is a film that I don't want to give any insider information, but I don't think it's going to be good. But because our own Simone of the podcast worked on it, I'm looking forward to seeing Argyle, because she spent so long working on it and I saw her throughout the whole process, and I'm looking forward to seeing the film she worked on. It's kind of nice being on that end of things as the person at home coming in, hearing what's happening on set. I want to go see it. I want to go see Argyle. So that is another one that I want to go see just because Simone worked on it.
I think it's coming out on Apple Plus.
So. Well, there you go. We can all watch it and
go anywhere.
But it's not high up. It's just because Simone worked on it. I'm sure there'll be others.
Many moons ago.
That I won't steal from other people. There's quite a few, but those are my top ones.
Fair enough. Toby, your top films for 2024?
Oh, it's tricky. Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see.
Return of Hugh Jackman.
Exactly. I'm very excited to see what we've got for that. There's a couple that I don't know. I'm on the fence about whether or not they'll be good, but I'm hopeful. One of which is The Ballerina, which is the John Wick spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one is, the trailer looks quite interesting, but we've been burned before, is the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I didn't know was being made. Yeah. And then I really liked the trilogy. So
I wasn't such a fan of War of the Planet of the Apes. I did like the other two.
Wasn't a fan of Around the Planet of the Apes or Next to the Planet of the Apes or, you know, Beneath the Planet.
Well, that'll just be one for me then. So
Journey to the Center planet. Of the Planet of the Apes.
So One Elsie Alone. Furiosa, I am on the fence for. I love Mad Max. I don't think this is a necessary film.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
It's got a good cast.
I feel a little bit sorry for Charlize Theron because she made Furiosa what she was in the movie. Anna Taylor-Joy is a great actress or actor. Will she have the same chops as Charlize Theron?
It's true.
Who's to say? Let's see what comes out. And for me, Godzilla X Kong, because I like my trashy movies.
Because you are a kaiju.
I am a kaiju. And honorable mention, because I think for the memes, if anything, our review of it will be visceral, is Madam Web.
Oh, God. Oh, I totally forgot about that crap.
I feel like that will be a crucifixion ready to happen. Oh,
God. What? Oh, I blocked that out of my brain.
That's ready.
Oh, now that's come back, mate. Another one that's on a similar vein, Craven. That's coming out next year as well.
Oh, yeah. Craven. The Sony are coming back live action.
Yeah,
it's wibbly morbin all over the place.
What about Alien Romulus?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Rebel Moon Part 2.
Oh yeah, got that to look forward to.
Gladiator 2.
Oh yeah. I really wanted Gladiators. That would have been great. That would have been great.
That is coming back 2 weeks down. Yeah. Gladiators coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he missed a trick with that. He really should have called it Gladiators. Oh, God. Ridley Scott should stop making films, that's for sure.
So for me, a lot has been said. Furiosa, Deadpool 3, Joker 2 is on my list. I'm quite intrigued just to see how that goes. Because... yeah, exactly. With Lady Gaga, I was like, of course, why not? I'm also the Borderlands movie looks interesting. I know we've had some video game adaptations that have worked fairly recently, but it's still not a
Super Mario track record. No, I'm joking. I'm
fair point. But also for me, because I kind of like my schlocky Blumhouse horror, is Night Swim, which comes out very soon. Yeah, you know, I like that kind of vein of stuff. So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in 2024. There's also the Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, which comes out at some point.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Neither did I till I looked it up today. But apparently that's a thing.
But now I'm looking forward to it. So there we go.
Yeah. So, you know, Lord of the Rings properties, generally I mean, I was going to say generally okay, but you know, there's spotty moments, I guess, in it. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to in 2024. We've talked about 2023, some ups and downs, and I'm sure we'll have the same in 2024, but I'm optimistic. Always want good films. We don't want content fatigue. We want good films, not bad films. That's what causes fatigue, essentially, is what we're getting at. So
yeah.
Hopefully 2024 can provide that.
My worst film of 2024 is Avatar, The Way of
the Water. Avatar 2.
The Way of the Water.
Or a long way off for the next one.
Yeah,
so it's going to be my worst film for every year until the third one comes out. But I think, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this week. Thank you, as always, for joining me, guys. So it's been fun catching up. It's been a long time. So
it really has.
Thank you, of course, to UK Film Review and Chris Olsen, as always, for having us. And of course, thank you to all the wonderful listeners. We really appreciate every single one of you. If you've enjoyed today, please know that you can in fact listen to more of us, because why wouldn't you want to, over our own dedicated channel as well, where we talk about all kinds of things from the MCU to DC, Star Wars, animation, nerd news, latest releases, comic book read-alongs, TV show watch-alongs, and we even have some debates such as our Nolan debate on there, and our Halloween debates and Christmas debates, all kinds of fun stuff on there as well. If all that sounds fun, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You just need to search for the Phantom Zone podcast on any of these platforms. And please do tell your friends to come and join us as well. You can find us also on Instagram at the Phantom Zone Podcast, and can email us at thephantomzonepodcast@gmail.com as well. But for now, until next time, thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Ta-ta.
Happy New Year.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.